We heard you missed us. We're back. It's live from the Five Hole. Faxes from UncleDale.com's and the Sam Fells, But Who's Buying Newsletters official weekly podcast. Although we took last week off because Matt was on a well-earned and well-deserved vacation. But we're here now. So, of course, we're in fatal four-way formation, even though it is the February doldrums. Officially, we're not really much is going on, but we'll still talk about it. We'll still find out what is going on. So, of course, I'm here with the usual crew. Leading off with Dr. Viral, he's the biggest jackass, no talent in the business, and he's the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 o'clock Central. It's Andrew Cieslak.
My top 10 conditional pick is protected.
Thank God. We'd hate to have you out there without it protected.
I said the words in the wrong order, but the point's
there. It's fine.
Check down, bitch.
Everyone gets what you get now. You can find Slack on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin, I should have mentioned.
Thank you.
He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He's our supervising technician and our technical supervisor, and he's Hollywood's go-to grizzled crank. It's Matt McClure.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. You can find Matt on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. And last but not least, he is the archivist. He is the goal line assassin. He is the Oracle of Humboldt Park. And we believe his dulcet tones will be uninterrupted tonight.
He's sitting as close as possible to his router.
You can't find him on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He's lurking in the night. It is Fifth Feather John.
It's a clear sky up here in Manitoba. The internet waves are flowing freely. I think we're in for a good show.
You mean you haven't run back since the Packers win?
No, I haven't.
You sprinted out to Manitoba and you're just like, yep, you know what? I just live here now.
Yep. This is my dwelling.
Well, we're happy for you. So as I said, it is officially the February doldrums. The Super Bowl is over. Football is officially over. There is no hockey until tomorrow afternoon, and that's only Olympic hockey, which some people love, some people don't. We will probably hear from both sides before this is over. So we're going to kind of mishmash it around. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl, maybe talk a little off-season, although maybe we got all that out. We'll do a quick report card from the other fellows on the Hawks at the Olympic break. Everyone has read what I've had to say, and then we'll maybe talk about the Olympic tournament a little bit. And then Slack and John just canceled Illini Corner, so that's out. We won't be doing that, and we might have time for America's Favorite segment. Where Slack will talk about the status of his first-round pick again. John, you are driving this bus, as always. You said you had Super Bowl thoughts, so I leave the floor to you.
Oh, I had a question for you first about the Super Bowl, because you come from a long line of advertising gurus.
Sadly, I do, yes.
Yes. What was that like growing up? Did the family care about the Super Bowl commercials? Was it something that you guys all sat down at the table and discussed?
We didn't have a table.
The pool table, Sam.
We didn't sit at the pool table, John.
Oh.
Well, from what I know, you guys, we're all about the same age. I don't remember, maybe it was just because I was a young lad, the Super Bowl commercials when we were like young kids being like the as big a deal as they became. Like there were ads on there that everyone talked about, but it wasn't like tune into the game for the ads.
Yeah, but remember like Bud Bowl, and that was cool.
Bud Bowl, I feel like started it.
Yeah, I was excited.
No,
about
what
Bud
started
Bowl.
It was Apple in 1984.
The Apple 1984 ad, but it wasn't like there was then an arms race to keep up with them, I feel like, until the Bud Bowl. But I could be remembering it wrong. My childhood's a little cloudy. When it did become a thing, John, what I mostly experienced between my father and my brother, who were both advertising copywriters, for those who don't know, was a lot of head and hands disappointment that people could be given these budgets for these ads, given this spot, and do so little with it. So there was a lot of just, really, that sort of thing.
Did either ever, I mean, I'm assuming that for your father, that he was mostly out of the game, but by the time it got to be a big thing, did Adam ever see him
no,
the big game?
No, Adam.
The
was
Snuggle Bear. Did the Snuggle Bear didn't get?
No, Snuggle didn't shell out, or neither did Heineken. And I can't remember what the third big thing. He did get a billboard in Times Square, which felt pretty big,
literally and metaphorically.
Yes, indeed. But he never had a Super Bowl ad. That was for the largest agencies in the world, which neither my brother or my father worked at. at least not at the right time.
So they sat head in hand during the commercials.
Mostly, yeah.
So it was basically the microcosm of a Bears game, but for them it was during the commercials.
Professionally.
Yes.
Continuing experience. Adam mm-hmm. was used to watching football like that because mm-hmm. he was a big Bears fan, mm-hmm. Whereas this was a departure for George.
Okay. All right. All right.
Why do you
I
ask?
I was just curious. Well, you know, I think about that sort of stuff as we see, you know, the commercials every year, and now they've become like, because of social media, everybody has to analyze them. And not only that, it has to be they're all out 2 weeks before anyways. So nothing really comes as a surprise to right. people that are really dialed in. I was just curious about that, what it was, you know, like in the
philosophy. Are we doing a commercial draft, John?
Mm-hmm. My guy, Mike Sinier, who I was listening to today, said he felt like almost all of the ads not only were for AI, but aimed at AI. It was as if they had forgotten to design these commercials for actual humans. And it was just one AI service talking to another AI service, and that we have just been left
kinda.
Out.
Kinda.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty accurate.
At the least other, they that's didn't. That's a kind way to put it.
At least they didn't de-age Kurt.
No, they didn't.
Well, there's no need. He looks great.
Yeah. That was fine. I liked seeing Kurt. I mean,
that was maybe one of the only acceptable advertisements.
Was Kurt? But I didn't. Was Kurt re? Was he doing Herb? Or was he just doing?
No,
Kurt?
He was doing a combination of himself, Herb, and Stuntman Mike.
It was a hybrid,
right? Yes. But like,
and again,
Stuntman
Kurt could get me to drink Mick Ultra.
Sure,
Stuntman Mike and Kurt Russell aren't like. I mean, they are inspirational figures, I guess, but not like they're not known. You know what? Forget it. I'm not even. I just didn't understand why Kurt Russell was yelling at people.
Because he's known it to do so in an Olympic sense as Herb.
And I mean, is Miracle that popular a movie? It is amongst us rejects, but...
Yeah, kinda. And it's gaining resurgence every 4 years now.
Right.
Being force-fed to people on their home screens for fucking Disney Plus.
There's another documentary about the
I watched
Olympic
it.
Team.
It's fine. It's way too trying to suck America off. Talking
it's
about
got
let's
new
make
footage,
it,
right? That's like the big deal.
It's on Netflix.
You can't watch these documentaries anymore without seeing who's producing them. It's
right.
important.
Yep.
It's probably one of the Ellison jerk-offs, which means it's null and void.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
the Elway one was like soaked in this bullshit.
I at least appreciated they gave Ken Morrow
some more
time, but like. There was some other footage, and like we've all seen the movie 1,000 fucking times. Like we know all the shit from the movie that's actually true. The goal line in Norway, goal line, that one. You know, the pitting them all against him, that whole thing. But like, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've all seen the HBO one too.
Yeah. So it's all fine. Fucking Mike Ruzioni clearly has not missed a free meal in 45 years.
God bless
him. He's got
him
nothing else
for
to
that.
Do.
No.
Yeah, he didn't have a career after it.
He's
so.
The only one. And you know what? He like, why would you? You couldn't top it. it's hilarious being so familiar with the movie Miracle, seeing other than they got Buzz Schneider's actual son to play him. Like seeing like the beefcakes that they got to play all these guys and what they actually looked like in 1980. There's no wider delta than Jack O'Callaghan, let me tell you.
Right.
Hawk yeah, legend Jack O'Callaghan.
They didn't, yeah, like hockey players in 1979 didn't like lift weights. All right. Well, that's your Super Bowl thought, John.
Oh, no. I mean, I had other Super Bowl thoughts too. But I mean,
us into Olympics, John.
Good morning, boys. How you doing?
morning, boys.
Morning,
Super
boys.
Super Bowl thought is this: after the game ended, I'm just going to call the Patriots quarterback Drake Grossman from here on out.
Apparently, he had a noomed shoulder.
Uh-huh. Sure he did. That doesn't mean he knew what blitz was coming from where.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear
that
it.
Also, apparently, Will Campbell was on one leg.
Drake May likes a sack. Very much. Loves a sack.
Will Campbell could have been on three legs. I don't think it would have mattered.
The problem isn't his legs. The problem is he has the arms of a Tyrannosaur.
Right, exactly, which is what everyone said.
And you have a problem.
I don't think Mike Vrabel and these clowns are going to get anywhere near a Super Bowl ever again.
I don't know.
This was laid out perfectly for them. I think we've been saying it all season. And whenever the Patriots did come up on the show, was how soft their schedule was and how they really they won the game in Buffalo. But other than that, yeah, and that was a good win. But then there was nobody else on the schedule. I mean, they played three playoff teams twice. Two of them were Buffalo.
Right.
And then in terms of the playoffs, I don't know how that tournament could have been laid out more perfectly for them. Getting
the other guy broke his foot,
right? Ankle. Right. You get San Diego at home, and San Diego was just completely dreadful. Anybody that suffered through more than 5 minutes of watching them came away with more brain damage than Jim Harbaugh.
And they hired two more weirdos now to fucking help them out.
That'll fix it.
Mm-hmm. That'll fix it.
And then you get the Texans again, where C.J. Stroud couldn't stop giving you the ball.
Banned.
Yep. Officially.
Oh, by the way, because of whatever my behavior is on Reddit, I get Texans posts in my feed now, and they cannot stop talking shit about CJ Stroud. It's so funny.
Oh, they hate him? Okay,
they hate his guts. Yeah.
And then you get the AFC Championship in Denver with their starting quarterback with a broken ankle, and you're facing whoever that – I already forgot his name.
Stidham.
Pritam's the Hawks prospect.
In a blizzard.
Yeah. In a blizzard,
yeah. And Sean Payton couldn't stop making dumb decisions.
Right. So,
and then you finally get to the Super Bowl and you play a real ass team and you look like the 2022 Bears.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it was like for everyone else to watch the Bears in their last Super Bowl. It had to be. I remember.
Yeah,
like,
but at least they gave you a Hester and they gave you.
Gave you a Hester and they took a halftime lead.
Yeah, the Hester touchdown was more electric than anything the Patriots did the entire game. Yeah. They were abysmal to watch. And Vrabel coaches like a coward, which is
always has.
It's so appalling to me, some of the decisions that he made. I couldn't stand watching a guy coach the Bears like that. Mm-mm. And I have.
I mean, you have watched someone coach the Bears like that.
Yeah, I know what it's like. It's awful. It's pure cowardice, nonstop. It's the Super Bowl, idiot.
How many fourth and shorts did they he just punted away?
Yep. John, you know my rule. Any head coach or coordinator who puts his hands on his knees like he's still playing before a play? Nope. Mm-hmm. Nope.
Yeah.
Don't have it.
That's why I like our coach.
He does not move or change his
arms
facial
folded,
expression one time.
Never changes expression. That's why he's a genius.
Yes.
clearly, like, I mean, all it proves is that any idiot can get to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, when it's laid out like that for you.
Yeah.
They're all
laid out
for
you. I don't think that Vrabel's an idiot. He might have some shortcomings. He's not fucking Eberflus out there.
No, he's not Eberflus.
No.
He installs a high floor.
He does. I'll give you that.
And that's about as high a floor as you can install, and how'd that go for you?
How does that work out for you? So...
In that division, they're probably going to, again, as we're saying, with Vrabel, with that floor, will probably keep them in the hunt every year.
There's four automatic wins, right?
Yes. For the foreseeable future.
The Jets are never going to figure it out.
No, Halfley's not going to figure that out, Andrew. You know it. He's going to go in there all huffy puffy, and they're going to look at
him. Who's his OC?
I don't even know.
Don't know.
I don't even know if he hired one yet, to be honest.
Matt Nagy. Just kidding. He's the Giants. I forget.
Yeah.
Okay.
He has more responsibility than the Dolphins guy, probably. Anyways.
Bobby Slowick.
Our old friend.
Go. He picked up the garbage Slowick.
Yep.
And then in terms of the Seahawks, I mean, I guess as I was watching it, it probably would, you know, you always think, well, what would the Bears have done in Seattle? It would have been nice to find out. You know, I don't think it would have been very fun. But then, you know, we say that, but the season that the Bears had, they probably would have come down to the last possession again. given everything else. I think maybe as close as
yeah, I think
the only other game that I could think of that it would end up being like would be maybe be the Baltimore game that they lost in Baltimore. But that game, they had the ball in the red zone the whole time. They just could never punch it in.
Yeah, I think the Lions game might have been like a blueprint. Like the game was like mm-hmm. you kind of looked like you weren't even in the game for most of it. And all of a sudden, boom, boom. Oh, shit. It's tied. And then maybe you're on your back foot a little bit and you give up the last possession and it happens to be a field goal or something like that. But they just they didn't really get they were never out of anything, even if they were looked like they were.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a coach who's willing to throw shit out there to see if it works without sitting and letting you lay down and just get run over like Vrabel did. I thought Vrabel was a complete coward. Really?
Yeah.
Just gross.
You should be
gross
playing stuff. With house money at that point. Like right. you were sort of lucky to be there. Yeah.
Right. So
which kind of tells me he was reading his own press too much.
Yeah. What have you got to lose in that situation? Especially the way that the Darnold couldn't hit anybody.
He wasn't anything special.
He wasn't terribly good. No.
No.
I don't know. Every time a team wins the Super Bowl, yes. everyone's like, "Well, this is the new model. This is how."
They're it's saying 2 started. Years in a row, it's been like the team with a vicious defensive front,
which
like,
is bullshit. Yes. Because the Eagles had a great offense last year with Kellen Moore as their.
It's also
with
bullshit because mouth agape. No shit, no shit. You want a good defensive front? Like who? What news are you breaking?
Yeah, right,
right. And I think people are pretty high on what the Seahawks might be next year. I see no reason why they won't be good. But the conclusion because you can win a Super Bowl. Any way you want, as long as you do it well. If you want to win multiple, you need the guy at quarterback. And you need the coach. And we'll see if that's Seattle. I tend to think it isn't. And I tend to think they won't care. They got what they came for.
Well, the problem with a model like Seattle is if your defense gets injured, then what?
Then what? Or expensive.
Yeah, they're going to get expensive really quick.
Right.
Our guy
Devin. You can't take away their title. They won the title. Like
no, they won the Super Bowl. I would take that for sure. I'm not trying to take it away. I'm just, if people are panicking, the Bears have to just turn Caleb into, Sam Darnold and really focus on turning the defense into the star. It's like, no, that's not how, that's not what they're trying to do. And I don't want to sound stupid as a fan of a team that's seen it in one Super Bowl in my 76 years on Earth. But they're aiming to do this every year, not just once.
And I think I said this in the text thread, but the whole reason why you have a quarterback who can be dynamic and can't be, pigeonholed into as a one style of guy is for shit like this. When you run into a defense that's running hot and seems to be unable to get scored on, and then you've got a guy who you can't really contain because he's not going to let you sack him. He's going to be able to get out of the box or get out of the backfield if you need to get out of the pocket.
Throw a 14-yard touchdown with 70 air yards under it.
Yeah, like that's the whole point of this. Like neither quarterback was able to do that on Sunday, and May probably more capable of it than Darnold. But I mean, I didn't see anything from May that hurt or not. Like that killed his entire season. Like nobody's going to remember how good of a year he had because he just played like absolute shit.
Did nothing. Yeah. They had that one drive. That was it.
He did negative because
two throws.
He had so many fucking turnovers.
Well he was turning the ball over the entire postseason. Again, how fortunate they were. Every one of those playoff games, he had multiple turnovers. But
his
it didn't matter because
the numbers were terrible.
Yeah, the quarterback on the other side gave the ball away more.
Or wasn't even a professional caliber quarterback.
Right.
That's just true. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It absolutely is.
That's pretty much those were my big Super Bowl thoughts, Sam. I don't know if you had anything else.
No, not really. Now football goes back in the box and I don't really have to care.
For about a month.
Wait till we message you about the Biggs report every morning.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's already happening.
Mulligan with his 10 million word fucking questions.
He can't talk.
It's unbelievable, this guy.
Whenever I'm driving around before a Bears game, because I get over to my friend's house, I like to put on a pregame show, but the two pregame shows in town are unlistenable because he hosts one of them.
And then it's Sylvie. Isn't it? Then
the one on the official
Luz Cannoli.
It was Sylvie, but it was Joniak and Thayer, and I can't listen to that if they're not doing the actual game, and even that's tricky. It deserves much better in this town.
In general.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to the Bears, it's like the one thing we care about.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. But we deserve better than Mulligan taking 5 minutes to ask a question while it sounds like he's chewing on washers.
Well, good news with Luke Canoli's moving over to NBC. Maybe we'll get more.
Huge
more,
move.
We'll get Cassie Carlson on the Fox show.
Well, and then, you know what? In 2 years, he can call me to help him clean out his office again.
Clean out your fucking office, Canoli's. You're fired.
They were trying to make like a big deal. Hey, we got Luke Canoli.
I don't get it. Yeah.
Who cares about your local sports guy anymore? Does anyone watch it?
Luke Canoli.
They paid him. I'm sure they paid him good money too. Which is
hey, get the money. Do what you can. But like,
that's a guy who doesn't fucking need the money.
They've
he's
had this giant
guy.
Hole in their budget since Gian Greco left.
Right.
Our guy.
Did he get fired for cause?
Probably.
They keep him locked away underneath the Allstate Arena until New Year's Eve every year.
He got fired for cause for saying something like Trump sucks or something. Like
I thought he got fired for cause for like trying to make out with his New Year's Eve co-host.
No, that's just their running bit. That's actual he America's did say, favorite he, segment is Mark J. Greco trying to put his tongue down Janet Davies' face.
He said something I think sexist to Cheryl Burton too.
Oh, he did. That's definitely true.
Oh, don't say that to Cheryl. Cheryl's good people.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia McCaskey said sexist shit to Cheryl Burton when she was one of the last Honey Bears.
Cheryl Burton, draft eligible.
Is Jackie Bang draft eligible yet?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Jackie Bang and her shit kids were dilly-dallying in front of me in the fucking line at the KFC in Vernon Hills a few years ago.
What is
no
this
one gets
story?
In the way of madness KFC.
Well, no,
the fucking
thing is that Vernon Hills was one of the last ones that had the buffet, and that's all I wanted. And they were taking like fucking 8 minutes to hem and haw about what the fuck they wanted on the menu. Just give me the goddamn plate.
Just skip the whole thing and go get diarrhea. What's the difference?
I mean,
that shit is
inedible. I find KFC unedible.
It is bad news.
Do you have any idea how hungover I still was at that point?
I probably do have some sense of how hungover.
If anyone knows, it is Sam.
Right.
You're probably there the night before.
That's what I'm saying. All right. Well, let's move on.
I thought we could talk about the Bulls for a little bit.
Did you really?
Just kidding.
What Bulls thoughts do you have?
Zero.
Honestly, I'm, you know what, truth be told, honestly, I'm jealous the fucking Hawks should be trading that many goddamn veterans off the roster.
You should not be jealous of the Bulls. That's what you're saying.
It's like, you know who else has zero Bulls thoughts?
Go on.
The Bulls.
The Bulls.
Michael Reinsdorf and co?
Michael, only the Bulls.
Only the one and only.
For those who read the newsletter, they have already read my Hawks at the Olympic break thoughts.
Bleak.
And I'm stuck in the middle. There was a furious debate on The Real Show last week, even though Matt was out of town. And I always like these when one of us is on one side, one of us is on the other, and someone's in the middle. John has written off Artem Levchinov. He's done. Matt is saying it's all just development, and this is just part of the natural curve, and I'm in the middle, and Slack's off wherever Slack usually is.
I'm waiting to see.
So, John, I'm going to give you the floor, and you can tell me why you're writing him off already, 60 games into his NHL career.
Well, I mean, it's as simple as he's a dumbass.
He is a dumbass. He might be Trevor Daly stupid.
I think in any other organization, in any other building where there's adults in the room that could potentially negate what his brain power brings to the ice or accentuate his weaknesses, I just don't think that's what's in place here.
But that's the root of what I'm saying is, yes, he might not be, they might have fucked up in drafting him number two, but like there's still stuff there, but they just don't know, and they don't know how to develop around him being an imbecile.
Right. See, they read the prospect pervert list and they said, well, this is the guy that everybody's saying is the second best player, so we got to take him. Go ahead, Sam. Sorry.
When you say the stuff, because I watch the stuff, and I worry that even the stuff is not really stuff. I'm going to just break into Carlin's routine here. Because, like, at first you're like, wow, this guy can really move, and he's really adventurous, and he's finding, you know, all these spots. And then you're like, or maybe he's just skating around. And if he ends up in a open area in the offensive zone, it's a complete accident. Because he's certainly not ending up anywhere he needs to be in the defensive zone. And I can live with that if I felt like what I was seeing on the other end was actual instincts and a way of seeing the game that not many people do. And the more I watch him, it just kind of looks like skating around.
But again, you could develop that.
Yes, maybe.
But you shouldn't have to out of a number two pick.
No, you shouldn't. And what the stronghold everyone runs to is like, well, and John, we'll have to go back 20 years and remember this lately. Well, this is, you know, Duncan Keith was just as lost. I don't think he was.
Well, also, what about Brent Seabrook? How did he do?
I mean, he looked the part the moment he walked in the door.
Yeah, and he was the same age as Lovshunov.
Younger.
Drafted a little bit behind him, but close enough. I think he was either the first or second defenseman taken in that draft.
He was number 7 overall.
Yeah.
And so, but like, I don't know. I guess I'd have to go back and watch the game film from 20 years ago, which I'm not going to do. But I remember watching Keith and thinking, yeah, this guy's pretty wild and pretty aggressive, but I see what he's trying to do. I see the game he's trying to play here. They just don't. He had Trent Yawney and then Dennis Savard. Dennis Savard didn't know what he was doing.
Seabrook was 14th overall, and he was the third defenseman taken behind Suter and Phaneuf.
Well, he's better than Phaneuf.
Yes.
But you know, I watched Levshinov, and I don't know. You know, if his offensive instincts were if he had actual offensive instincts, he'd have more than 2 goals.
Yes.
They do it. Oh, we gotta, you know, we're gonna work on his shot. We're gonna just spend all this time working on his shot. So it's like, what? He didn't have a shot before you drafted him.
Yeah, I think to Matt's point, it just feels like he's regressing so much. Like right. when we first saw the first 10 games or so, you saw those shooting lanes that he was creating by just moving his feet or just making a subtle move that would open up a lane from 60 feet away that he could get the shot through on net, or even right. just find it through 3 or 4 guys' legs. And now, I mean, that's just all gone. Because right. again, and that brings to the question of what are they telling this guy? What are they overloading him with that he just no longer can play the game that made him as successful as he was?
Right. And is the Levshinov shooting camp next to the Contiola skating camp?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, by the way, are we going to put – I think Kyle Manong – does Petri Kotiola have a land speed camp? Or is it strictly skating?
They might be expanding. It's next, okay. That'll be next to the Gordon Beckham.
Okay, because I think Manongai, I think we got to put him at the Kotiola foot speed camp this off season. But that's that's just a sidebar.
That's a sidebar.
Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, I just think that with – Levshunov, it's just it's the word I'm looking for. It's like just a symptom of everything else that's been plaguing this organization for some time. And that even Bedard, who has, you know, came in as the number one pick, generational prospect, touted number one, and he's still putting up very respectable good numbers and looks the part on most nights. He can't stay healthy, and he still hasn't given you that what you see out of Celebrini.
There's the suddenness.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spend much time comparing them, and we can do that on another show. I watch Celebrini, I'm like, yep, that's a center. That's a number one center. And I watch Bedard, and I'm still not sure I'm not watching a top winger.
It's impossible to say because there's no options here right. to.
I mean, they're trying this Nazar thing, but that's not an answer.
Does he have 2 goals now in 42 games or something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Let's get to him, he'll because I know Slack's got opinions on him.
Yeah, that's the guy I'm done with.
Slack, no, for everyone else, Slack has given up on Frank Nazar. He's over.
What am I supposed to say is good about Frank Nazar? I don't know.
Maybe
somebody could tell me. What's he good at?
He's fast.
He's good at scoring 7 goals in 41 games. You gave him how much money?
$6.5 million per.
Is that to be good like in a few years, or what's the plan there?
Yeah, that's what they're going to say now. Yes,
right.
He's a half a point per game guy, right now. You could pay that guy. You could pay $1 million for a guy like that.
Well, maybe not $1 million. I mean, that's still
$2 million.
That's still number three center.
Matt Grouchik was a half a point per game guy last year. It's true. That is true.
It is
from the blue line.
Okay,
from the blue line.
So, okay, put Matt Grouchik at forward then. What's the difference? Same production.
Forward.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, I mean, there's no defending it, and there seems to be far less scrutiny about the contract extension given to Frank Nazar when he's doing nothing except getting hurt than there is this conditional draft pick nonsense that arose last week, which seems like it was just a failure of the local press to figure out.
Or follow up on, because I think initially it was a conditional first round pick, and that was how it was reported, and then nobody followed up on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it only became.
Could we have just gone to Puckpedia and looked at it?
Probably. No, because it wasn't in Puckpedia.
It wasn't. Okay.
No. It wasn't anywhere. It wasn't even on the Hawks website.
And it didn't
even matter until the cats started to swirl around the toilet.
Right.
Which no one expected. Mm-hmm. And even if it is a 27 first round pick now, you got your starting goalie out of it. It's a good trade. I don't know why people are.
I'm just saying that by their own definition of carpet bombing with higher picks in rapid succession, you don't put the condition on that. Like I'm just saying that by the own logic of both Kyle and his piss boys running around. Sorry, I saw History of the World Part 1 pretty
recently. Yeah, I was guessing.
Great band, though. Kyle and his Piss Boys.
Kyle and his Piss Boys, yeah.
Saw them at Ronnie's. But yeah, like by that metric, by that logic, it's a boner. And it's just symptomatic of other shit. When nothing else is going fucking right. And they're not going to trade it anyway.
How do we know? They're not doing that deal, Seth Jones. All right, they agree on Knight, and then Bill Zito's like, look, I'll give you a first-round pick, but I got to put this on it, or it's going to be a second-round pick. I'm not just giving you a first-round pick, and that's how we're going to do the deal. You have to take that deal. Seth only wanted to go to Florida. It's not like they had leverage. They couldn't hold on to him because God knows Foligno would shit himself. So I don't even think again, it's a boner. It's not the Rantanen boner.
It's defensible, but it's still part of a broader thing.
Yeah, it's part of the, for me, it comes down to like, you're negotiating this trade. You got your guy, like you couldn't even hold firm on the pick.
I'm trading you the Stanley Cup here. Yeah. This is going to be at the ass end of the, this is going to be at the ass end of the draft anyway. What's it like? Why is it even matter?
You've got the leverage.
Well, that's what Zito's telling him. Like, hey, this is, look, we're not going to, you know, we don't know. They don't know at the time Barkov's going to be hurt and Kachuk's not going to make it out until January.
Do you know what that tells me then? That tells me that he felt that Seth Jones was basically running show and saying, you have to trade me. Because Kyle couldn't say that I'm not sending him to you if you insist on protecting this pick.
Yeah, I mean, how many times did the Hawks have to give up a first-round pick when they were good with no condition on it?
I mean, well, that's fair, but I mean, I feel like I'm going to spend more podcasts in Kyle's seat, and I don't like it. If I'm Kyle, and if that's how it went, and we're probably spending too much time on this, but if you've already got Spencer Knight in the deal and you have to get rid of Seth Jones and he will only go to Florida, and it's like, okay, either I make this deal like this or I don't. You know, or I can't make it. I'm just making the deal because Spencer Knight's that important.
No, I agree. Like, again, it's defensible. It's just It's just another frustrating thing.
I find it strange that this is what people want to hang Kyle Davidson up for.
Like, well, they don't. At least not on the Reddit thread. They're essentially mad at the reporting, not Kyle Davidson.
Yeah. Well, that's what they should be mad at. Although you could be mad at the Hawks for not really releasing what the actual terms of the deal were. Because, when was the deal made? Last February, right?
Whenever the deadline is, yeah.
If they make the announcement, hey, we traded him for Spencer Knight, and the condition on the first round pick is his top 10 protected, everyone would be like, well, who fucking cares about that? It's not, the Panthers aren't going to... Panthers aren't going to be in the top 10 of the draft. Like, no one would have ever seen that coming. So, that's of all the things that are going on with the Hawks, I feel like that's so far down the list of what matters.
Absolutely. And let the record show, I wanted him fired for 18 months prior to this coming out.
Right. Now, I saw something about our friend Jay mentioning Hot Seat.
I didn't watch.
You guys were talking about Hot Seat?
All I saw was
a mailbag.
Yeah, it was a mailbag with the Uber driver suck me off thumbnail, and all it said was Hot Seat on it.
Oh, so we don't know what it...
No.
It was probably one of our cretins got in there into their mailbag and infected the whole thing with a Kyle question.
Well, our cretins are very infectious.
Yes. But
and contagious.
I did not watch. I don't know how Jay answered it.
Okay.
So... Yeah.
Well, never mind. We'll strike this from the record.
Strike it from the record.
Strike it.
He's stricken.
Pretend like my mic screwed it up.
I always do. Even when you're not around. I don't... every time we do this, we just end up doing the same show, and I'd like to find another angle to talk about this. I just don't...
That's on them.
It is on them. We can sit here and say Renzel's looked better since he's come back, but it's three games. What does that mean?
Yeah, he has looked better.
That means he has
six
more
games
to continue to look better and he'll stop.
Right, again, you don't know.
He's a nine-game guy.
You don't know how he's going to look once the Hawks start sinking their teeth into him and start nitpicking on whatever bullshit that they want him to change in his game rather than just letting him play.
Or not having him find a weight room.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He's going to take him years.
And now that they found it, he can't leave it. Apparently,
It's going to take him. It's going to take him multiple years to put on weight.
That's a joke.
Complete joke.
I guess I'd have to look and ask a bunch of other people who follow other NHL teams what the summer program is like. Because you'd feel like when the season ends, you're doing your exit interview. They'd hand him something and be like, "Hey, this is what we need you to do, and this is the program."
They would say, "Hey, get an apartment if you don't already have one, and stay here." In the city and work with our strength teams who are here.
Wasn't that why they cooled on Tavo?
Every fucking day and you work out. That's what I did in high school. It was free. Why can't he do it?
He's getting paid to do it.
Yeah. It's a no-brainer. And you're doing it with pros. I was doing it with some fat guy named Bubba.
That was one of the reasons they cooled on Tavo and they traded the first time. He wouldn't spend his summer here. He just would go back to Finland. He didn't want to train here.
Well, Tavo's not a guy who I would demand, put on a bunch of bulk. That just doesn't make sense for him.
But
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm just saying, they've done it before. I just don't get this. Oh, yeah, just go off and do. I mean, I know that everyone's got their own guys and their own coaches and their own things. Bedard's got his secret. Like, he won't tell anyone what he was doing in Vancouver. And Donato, Hockey Nato's got his guy in Florida who got him rich and now is a albatross contract, and they've all got these guys and that's athletes in all sports. They've all got their own. Yeah, but
I don't think anything can be considered an albatross contract when they're carrying $12 million of fucking corpses right now.
Right. Fair enough. But you'd be like, okay, San Francisco, whoever you do this with and however you want to do it, here's what you have to do. You have to add
here's
this
your milestones.
Right. And every year I read about, I really got to start weight training. What is it you did at Minnesota?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me at all. Something stinks, and it's the Blackhawks.
And the Bulls.
What a bleak
Cubs
winter.
Won't stink. You got that to look forward to.
Yeah, but I got to figure out what to do in between now and then.
Spring training is so long.
We got soccer. We got World Baseball Classic.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah. I like the World Baseball Classic.
All right, well, that's... Do we have any other Hawks thoughts?
Well, we got America's Favorite Segment here.
Oh, America's Favorite Segment. Let's put that right here.
Oh, Lordy. Hold on.
Efforting. Lordy. Oh, Daddy. Whoa, Daddy.
I had the comment pulled up, and then because I had been out of the thing for too long,
I understand.
Went away.
So I'll read mine real quick because I posted in this thread about the Panthers pick.
Oh, that was the one I was going to read. So perfect.
I'll just read mine really quick because I posted in there, and I knew.
Well, we got mentioned in the, later down in the thread.
We did. I'll let you handle that.
Okay.
Oh, that was in my thread.
Yeah, tee it up.
Were we sniffing each other's farts or sucking each other off? I forget.
Eating each other's butts or something.
Both.
I got everybody all pissed off at me because I wrote, "What was Kyle Davidson thinking here? This is pretty bad."
This is in relation to the top 10 pick.
Yeah, downvoted into Bolivian. And then the shout out to ESB409 who replied, "How dare you question the unquestioned master that is Kyle Davidson? You know, the guy who didn't ask who he was retaining salary for and then maybe try to squeeze a little bit more in the Rantanen deal. I will never understand the blind faith on this sub for a guy whose record is generously incomplete." So shout out to ESP409. Thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate you. The rest of them are all just like protected picks are pretty normal. Who would have thought the Panthers would stink? Some guy who I this is my favorite one. This doesn't change the trade at all. Okay. It doesn't change the trade at all to have a top 10 pick this year versus not. Right. Okay, cool. Good for you. And then Humble Albatross wrote, "No one at the time of the trade thought this was going to convert into a top 10 pick. It's just ridiculous and amateurish that the protections on this pick weren't revealed until today." And then Rich Rap 9333 goes, "They were, but us and Chuggo and Blue Sky and The Athletic and all the reporters and quasi reporters and yes, probably faxes from Uncle Dale too, were all sniffing each other's buttholes instead of reading the original press release on the trade." Now, for the record, I've never sniffed any of the three of your buttholes.
No, and we won't disclose whose butthole you have sniffed.
But that's right.
You have loudly commented on my piss, though.
Oh, that's fair enough.
Well, we are piss boys.
We are piss boys.
Championship.
Are we not men?
But Rich Rap 9333, thanks for listening as well. We appreciate you.
We appreciate it, and I'm glad we have now like a small uproarious presence in the Hawks.
It's fun
Reddit
to get
world.
Mentioned. I keep wondering when they're gonna respond to me and say like, "We know what you're doing."
Not yet.
No, they're all too dense. Even if our guy Eric thought he found John, but and was very disappointed that he did not.
That was wild.
Yeah. He spelled the person that they thought spelled Foligno wrong. So
that's right.
Yeah, that's how you can tell if it's me or not.
Now we'll look for McKay off post.
John's nothing if not incredibly consistent with how he spells out his mispronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
I always include another the tilde. It's not a tilde over the end. It's a
no. It is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's the proper spelling of Foligno.
There was another comment in this thread that I really enjoyed too. And again, this was when everybody was very apparently upset about this. But somebody wrote, "I want Davidson to have a press conference and report this shit out and clarify the details to everyone. This is clownship management from our GM and clownship new reporting from news reporters, especially Chicago's owns. You massive shitheads. Hope you're reading this."
Massive shitheads.
Hope you're reading this.
Oh my god.
Clownship, yeah. Clownship management and clownship new reporting.
My favorite Rage Against
reporters.
The Machine song is Clownship Rebellion.
I thought Clownship was a really nice town outside Boston, but that's just me. Oh, that's the good stuff.
And Rich Rapp responded to that comment too. He did not mention us in this one, but he did say this is a result of reporters and quasi journalists like Chuggo and idiots like us on Reddit, Shitter, The Athletic, who all kept sniffing our own buttholes. Yeah, he put it as X, you know.
What's wrong
X
with this guy?
He didn't mention us in that comment, though.
Well, he meant us.
Yes,
he did. He's mad at everybody, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe he's one of ours.
He could be.
I hope so. I like
but,
him.
But he's a
I like,
not
I like
a proud Cretan.
I like the idea that people think I have read a press release ever.
Yeah. Hey, never had a press pin.
Like, what would I do with a press pin? I don't get them. They don't send them to me.
So we are in the Olympic doldrums of
we are
hockey,
in the
so.
Olympic doldrums. So getting... I feel a duty almost to at least do a little bit of the Olympics because one of the first podcasts Olympus. We ever did was after the 2010 final with a very drunk Matthew Killian, although most of our podcasts those days were with a very
Who the hell is he?
Well, before we get there, Sam, there's still one more Reddit post that I was
going to
talk about.
I'm sorry to jump to the
Since we are in the Olympic doldrums, it's, you know, you're getting great posts like this on Hawks Reddit. Thoughts on Ilya Mikheyev? He's been my favorite player on the Hawks for a while.
Wow.
I'm really hoping he gets an extension. Yep.
For and a that's while.
That's a while.
That's a while.
You're getting you know, top-notch comments from top – from top minds. I think he's a great player. 17 upvotes.
He's
great. Good presence on the PK. I want to keep him. 14 upvotes.
I want to keep him.
Yep. Let's see. He's earned himself another 2 to 3 year deal.
Make it five.
I honestly don't care about the average annual value. Well, why should you? Because the Hawks can barely reach the floor as is.
Right.
Which
is why I think he's getting one, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think he is, too.
Bigger the better, because the team needs to hit the floor next year. But after being relegated to a little more than a camped up by Vancouver, he's proven himself to be one of the best PKers and defensive forwards in the league. Then why isn't anybody else trying to get him?
No, in the league.
By that token, he's a very valuable piece. The fact that he speaks Russian natively so he can communicate with two of the Hawks' most valuable prospects and help them ease into the league is also noted in his favor. How'd that work out for Jose Abreu? And the White Sox.
It's going really well for Lepshinov.
Yeah.
Currently. Are we sure Lepshinov even speaks Russian?
He speaks at least Belarusian.
It's the same language. Belarusian. I think he probably just speaks gibberish.
Yeah. These all have to be White Sox fans because they think that this makes a difference. Language and culture could be huge as adjustment.
Didn't they bring over speaking of the fucking Olympics, didn't they bring over the grandson of the Red Army coach, the same name, Viktor Tikhonov, to be Panarin's
John
valet?
Was very excited.
Yeah, and you lasted a whole, like, what, day?
10 minutes?
A month. Yeah. Maybe a month, yeah, once he was settled.
It didn't matter at all.
He couldn't play dead.
No. But that's what I'm saying is, yeah, I was just going to bring that up. How many Russians were here for Panarin when he got over here? And he seemed to assimilate pretty well. anyway, so yeah, that kind of wraps it up. There's just more comments about how great Mikheyev is and how they need to sign him forever. And he's my favorite forward on the Hawks. Why is he your favorite forward? That just speaks, again, to just the hellscape that we are in right now.
And we're deep in it.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's bad.
There are 100 Ilya Mikheyevs.
Oh, here we go. Here's some more fan fiction for you. I'm hoping Slaggard or someone else can learn a lot from him and that he is worth a spot for how well he does the role. Why do you have to learn from somebody else? This fan fiction that these people subscribe to is just insane.
They're all out for themselves. They're all out for their minutes and the next contract when it comes to like development stuff. Yes, they're all trying to win and whatever, but as far as all this long-term shit, no one there's not this mentorship.
Right. This isn't
high school. Everyone gets attached to this shit when like it's a top prospect and they're basically billeted because they're children.
Yeah.
With an older, you know, with an older teammate or whatever. But like Slandin Laggert is what, like 21 years old. He's out getting drunk and fucking bitches. That's what he's out doing. I apologize.
Well, I don't know. Does Gen Z do that?
For the
I don't know if Gen Z does that. Is he Gen Z?
Well, he's 21.
Or is he the next 22? One? I don't know how this breaks down.
I apologize for the crass terminology and for the assumption that anyone under 40 years old ever drinks anything anymore.
Other than espresso martinis.
At your place, yes. At Simon's, yeah. Anyways, that concludes America's Favorite Segment.
That concludes AFS. And we're we're running a bit long. John, do you have Olympic hockey thoughts?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
When I first came into touch with you, you were very excited about the 2010 Olympics.
Oh, it was the best tournament of all time. That's what they keep trying to recreate. Yeah.
Right. You were young and optimistic. And,
yeah.
And we've beaten that out of you.
No question. But also the NHL and these federations have also beaten it out of me just because they've –
Well, it was an NHL sheet, and it's not even that in Italy now. It's whatever the fuck. It's like Johnny's East dimensions now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 196 feet. Yeah.
Canada put its best team out on the ice. Like they weren't sitting there worrying about how their third line
there's
is going to
no
match up
Rob
against
Zaminer bullshit.
Yeah, right. And the USA did, you know, they gave Chris Drury the honorary bullshit thing, and they had some other doofuses out there. I think Brian Boyle was on that team, but their top two lines were young and legit, which is the opposite of what they're doing now. Bill Guerin has put together just a
team full of himself.
Yeah, exactly. And just put the best 13 forwards on your team. Don't worry about what position they're going to play or who's going to be the shutdown line. Why are you worrying about that?
single elimination tournament.
The thing is, mostly these days, your top players in the NHL are good defensive players too. There aren't.
Right. How many? Know, yeah, exactly. Like how many do you think Cole Caulfield is going to have a problem matching up against Canada's top second line?
Jason Robertson. Right.
Jason Robertson, right. You know, they do this all the time. You don't
scored
have
50 goals for Peter fucking DeBoer.
Yeah, the one-dimensional score is just, it's not that prevalent anymore. Like you know, Canada's not worried about McDavid or McKinnon matching up against anyone, you know? Like, they don't care.
Right.
But it's all conservative in-game, too. I mean, they'll trap. It's single.
Well,
you can't trap Canada when those two are out on the ice.
Also, that was more of an Olympic size rink tactic. That's not going to be the case here. They're not. John Cooper's not going to trap. Not with that defense.
Good luck with your first trap.
Good luck with your first trap. Thank you very much. I there's no way to design these tournaments that are interesting. But like I hate the preliminary round. Like, everybody plays and then everybody moves on. Why are you playing? You know, if we're gonna do group,
Latvia doesn't move on.
No, they all go to the knockout stage. Like,
if, not everybody, Sam.
Yes, everybody does. John.
Everyone in the group that is good goes.
That's the women's tournament. In this tournament, the top four teams get a bye to the quarterfinals, and the other eight have the knockout round. And I'm just like, well, who cares?
What are we doing here? Yeah,
what are we doing? Like, if you're gonna have groups, if you're gonna have these three groups of four, then okay, the three group winners and the best second place team move on, and then
everybody else goes home.
Yeah, yeah, everyone else goes home. You know, there's nothing on the line here, so it's just kind of, you know, it worked in 2010 because Russia was around, and the U.S. and Canada and Finland, and Sweden, and they're all in the same group, right? So it was one big group game, and there was like jeopardy to that because, you know, who would win the group. But with Russia gone and Finland kind of weak, it doesn't really have. We already know who's going to win these groups.
Yeah, well, all right.
You know, so it comes down to a three-game tournament. Anything could happen. You know, great. I'm sure it'll be exciting, although 2014 wasn't really exciting, but maybe it had to do with the wider ice. I don't know.
There's a reason the other tournament's called the Four Nations and not the Eight Nations or
right.
Ten.
Right.
Yeah,
because there's only four good ones.
The 2014 ones that everybody just remembers the shootout that was
right,
meaningless.
It didn't matter.
Yeah, it was meaningless.
Two teams that didn't medal.
Right. Zero stakes. Again, yeah, I think that's why I think Sam, you hit it dead on in that the group play should have some weight to it. Like, it's not just to get a bye. It should be to qualify for the knockout tournament.
Or
it
take the top
be.
Two teams and then, you know, the top two ranks, they get a straight bye to the semifinal or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they do this with the juniors too, except like the two bottom teams drop out, right? And they play a relegation game. Mm-hmm. It's just like, well, you just kind of muddle around. Yeah. Like everyone, you know, like the US was, the women's team was exciting to watch today, but it's like, this doesn't matter. Like, they kick the shit out of Canada once, they could lose next time and that's it. Like,
yeah.
You know. But you know, it's fun to watch these guys come out in different jerseys, and it's fun to play line combinations, and you know, there'll probably be one or two good games, and hopefully that'll make it worth it. I think there'll be one or two good games. We'll probably get a Canada US final, and the US is absolutely gonna 1991 Hawks this, just absolutely lose their mud, try and prove how big their dicks are, and defend the honor of every MAGA asshole who supports them. And they're going to give up like four power play goals.
Well, now you can't fight in Olympic hockey, but if you get to that gold medal game and fight, then you're just kicked out of your next IOC
game.
Well,
you're kicked out of that game, though.
And you'd get, I think you get suspended, too. So they're not going to fight, but I could see them absolutely.
They're going to be taking penalties left and right.
Yeah.
Like, this is my problem with how U.S. hockey works at this level. And even their commercial promoting this was in the same vein, which pissed me off. And they tried this in the last World Cup, and they tried it in the 2014 Olympics. They're like, we're going to build a team that's going to bother Canada. It's like, just build the best team.
Yeah, beat it.
Yeah. Like, honestly, the U.S. has more talent now. Like,
that's the thing.
1 through 7 on the blue line for sure. I think at forward, they have more talent. Just build the best team. Just go with your best team. You don't have to punch people. You don't have to annoy people. You just go play hockey better.
Don't they learn anything from watching 7,000 different fucking 1980s documentaries? Also, that was Herb's whole thing. You don't defend it. You take the game back to him.
Right. Anyway.
Fucking Herb.
Fucking Herb.
Want to say I'm scared of getting cut?
I care more about the women's shit than I do the men's, I think. That's fair. The men's stuff is so, like, riddled with bullshit. It's just annoying.
It's surprising to me that there's not more of a push.
Yeah, but it's only really a two-team tournament for the ladies, though.
Yeah, but
yeah,
it actually, I just feel like I care more who wins. I don't really care if the U.S. men win or not anymore, or at least not right now. I'm just not in the mood.
Given everybody's prospect perversion, it is somewhat surprising to me that there hasn't been a push to make it an amateur tournament again.
Oh, that doesn't sell.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, not enough, at least. But you would think that...
I mean, it was the... Well, I guess they had AHL players the last two times when the NHL players didn't go.
No, in 92, it was... Canada was basically their world junior team.
Yes,
well, right, no. But the last two times when the NHL players didn't go, did they bring AHL guys? I thought it was, like, college guys and...
Dillons. I don't even know what year. I mean, so we're going
18
back
and
to,
22.
You're going back to, like, 94.
I'm not going back to 94, you idiot. 2022 and 2018 when the NHL didn't go.
Oh.
I guess the Russians brought their pro players. That's why they won the one.
Well, they had a lot in the K.
Yeah, because they broke the K went. KHL went. Mm-hmm. Anyway, doesn't matter. John, that's a non-starter. People like seeing this. And the funny thing is they do that. I want the NHL players to go. I think it's a good idea. I don't mind. They have to figure out what they're going to do with the season. You know, they can't just cram it this way. They need to shorten it somehow. But then they're like, oh, you know, we had a great gold medal game, and it'll totally relate to the rest of the hockey season. And then the TV ratings are always the same. You know, people tune in for the Olympics, and then that's it. They don't come over for the rest of it.
Unless they're heated rivalry fans.
Right, which they can't figure out how to use anyway.
I have a question for you, Sam, once again. Or
Hockey Nato was on the 2018 team, by the way.
Was he? Good for him.
Do you recall the Blackhawks having exhibition games against Team USA, like, let's say, the early 90s?
Yes, and I remember, but mostly I remember them having exhibition games against the Red Army.
Right. Those are on YouTube. You can find those, yeah. Those are on YouTube. I watched a part of one the other day. But the Team USA ones, I could not find. But they did happen, correct?
Yeah.
I didn't know if I imagined them or not. I know I remember Ray LeBlanc playing for the Hawks after the Olympics.
USA roster in 2018 is brutal.
Well, of course it would be.
So they were all AHL
guys. Is it like Spengler Cup shit or what? Like,
yeah.
What, yeah, kind of. I mean, it was like college
like retired
seniors.
Guys.
Jordan Greenway.
Oh, boy.
Mark Arcabello, Jonathan Blum, fucking the...
It's the waiver draft.
Yes.
Right. It's guys who
James
are still
Wisniewski,
in college.
James Bobby Sanguinetti.
Too old for the WJC.
Too Italian.
Brian Giotta at literally 40 years old.
Boy, I blocked this out.
This is awful.
Anyways,
it was on
Sam.
At 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right, it was on at 4 in the morning. You didn't watch any of it. Mm-hmm.
So then that did happen. Okay, I did not imagine it. It wasn't.
Yeah, no, they did. I mean, I remember them in like before the 88 Olympics. I don't remember anything after that. I don't know if it happened after that.
I tuned into the Red Army game from 91.
The Red Army game was a big deal.
Mm-hmm. And it was on. There was a home game that was on TV. They put it on Sports Channel.
They did. That's why we tuned in. Like, yeah. Oh my God, look, it's hockey from the stadium.
And Fedorov was on that team.
He was?
Mm-hmm. Anyways, all right.
All right, well, let's get to the kids. I only have a couple. Our guy, Greg Landry, do any of you enjoy curling in the Olympics? Yes, obsessed. Can't stop watching it. Was glued to the TV the past couple afternoons.
I wish I liked it more.
I can't get into it.
I have to watch them with the sound on, and I wish they did a little better explaining the strategy in the early throws, like what they're doing.
It's just bocce on ice, right?
Basically. But I'm transfixed. But then, you know, NBC has lately, past few years, been putting the regular, you know, curling tour or whatever on TV, and I can't. It's on the Olympics. I can't get into it. I can't watch it.
That's just people.
Yeah,
that's just people playing curling.
That's just people curling. Who cares?
I could go to a bar and watch that in person.
Yeah, go to Kaiser Tiger.
I have to comment. I was going to say, since we're on that topic, I just have to comment on a different event. I find the ski jump to be the most worthless event to watch out of all the events.
Even with everyone juicing their peckers?
Because, yes, because it's a bunch of people jumping and landing pretty much in the exact same spot.
Right.
And it's just like, it's
negligible distance. Yeah.
It's so uninteresting.
See, Slack, here's my issue with.
Now, if they had to do it naked with their hyaluronic cocks out there.
Here's my issue with the winter. A lot of events in the Winter Olympics, and ski jumping is actually at the nexus of this.
It's awful.
When you're watching skiing or luge or bobsled, anything that goes down the mountain, basically. When I'm watching, I can't tell the difference between the runner. I'm just watching a clock.
Exactly.
Like I'm just waiting for you to flash the clock. I can't see what the difference is between two competitors.
Right. Secondly, go ahead. Sorry.
Secondly, and this isn't to say that figure skaters or snowboarders aren't great athletes. They are. I always have a problem with a competition that is based on judgment.
Yep.
That is based on someone's opinion. Ski jumping is both.
Yeah, it's awful, man.
Those guys are amazing. Those women, they're amazing. Like, what they do, I think they're crazy, and what they do is amazing. But A, I can't visually tell if you're better than the last guy who jumped, and B, it's judged.
That's why that snowboard cross is kind of cool, because at least they're all on the track at the same time.
I can see who crosses the finish line first.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about that the downhill skiing should just be all of them racing at the same time, but then of course
you'd five of them out there at the same time and let's go.
Yeah,
I don't remember, and I could be wrong. I don't remember downhill skiing looking this insanely dangerous. Like I know it's scary, but for whatever reason,
the drone footage exacerbates
the drone footage is
and the speedometer. I did not realize they're going 80 miles an hour
because
that
it's international. Oh. It was always kilometers, so it's arbitrary.
Like it looks terrifying. And I'm not, like, again, I'm not saying they aren't amazing. And, like, if you just sort of watch, especially with the drone footage, the way they cover it now, it is kind of now beautiful to watch. But, yeah, one skier goes and then the next skier goes.
You would think they could overlay the leader, like, the silhouette of the leader.
They do that in other sports. Maybe that would be a good way to go about it. And I'm, you know, like, figure skating can be beautiful. Those people are amazing. They do amazing things. But, like, at the end of the day, well, it's still what someone thought. And I know they've tried to like systemize it, right? Like if you get a certain score for doing this, and you get a certain score for doing that.
They've got StatCast cameras out there,
right? But like they're still like, oh no, they downgraded that to a grade 3. Why? I don't know. Felt like it.
The other thing.
This is why I can't get into War, Sam.
The other thing about Andrew's numbers, but it's the band.
No, it's still a black box on what anyone thinks is a replacement level player.
Well, the Fangraphs formula is right there for you.
Anyway, sorry.
Andrew's ski jumping. One more thing.
I didn't want to interrupt John while we've got a solid connection here. This has been wonderful.
Right.
Yeah. Andrew's ski jumping. The other thing, too, that sucks about it now, everybody's so good. You know, when we were kids,
it was like
half of them couldn't even land the jump.
Yeah.
Now everybody's just. It's like second nature to them. You had Eddie the Eagle. It was like, oh, this guy's going to make it. But we don't – I mean, it's 50-50 whether he's going to land on his feet or not or his head. Right. You know?
Second dumbest movie I've cried to, Eddie the Eagle.
Well, I mean, Lindsey Vonn got injured enough for everybody. So
right, that's true. But that is downhill skiing. But I'm saying with the ski jumping, like back in the 80s and early 90s, it was I would say 75-25 whether the guy was going to land or gal was going to land when they hit. And now they all just look so flawless and easy. That's the other issue with it to me. There's no right. sense of danger. Like definitely the downhill skiing, there's danger involved.
Oh, also, God, yes.
Also, the relay thing just fucking sucks. You could screw up somebody's Olympic dreams in like half a second by the placement of your feet.
Right. Yeah.
That's just crazy. Well, anyways. That's
part of being a team, I guess.
Everything just 4 years of training completely down the tubes based on like 15 seconds.
Of someone else's run.
Yeah, somebody else, yeah. I'm sure most of those people are in multiple events. But
right, I'm sure they are. But yeah, but you're right. Though I checked in on that today. I'm like, I had never seen this event before. I was like, so the only person doesn't even get to go?
Yeah.
At least track and field, if a guy falls down, he still has to like get the baton to you at some point. You know, you can still get... Anyway, all right, longtime guy Bobby Otter. The people demand a Royal Rumble review. Bobby, we didn't watch it. And everything I've heard about it sounds like it was truly terrible. I don't know. Slack, did you watch any of it? You didn't.
And that's how you honored Terry Bors, by not watching any sporting event.
So I can't help you, Bobby. The Rumble used to be like the one thing I would make time for from New York.
Oh, hell no. No.
And now it's not even. No.
It's awful. It is awful. Like in the though, I'm not going to get into this too much, but the whole point was, in the past, before anybody knew that there was other wrestling, they would bring in people from other companies and or legends that you could never see or didn't see very often, and it's exciting or would be exciting to see them come out. Right. They don't have that anymore. That's over. So now it's just their roster and NXT guys or TNA who they're just like got their foot on their neck trying to kill them. And everybody else just wrestles for other companies that are cool now and doesn't have to show up to that shit.
Right. And then they all stop so Jey Uso can dance.
It is right? embarrassing.
Is it Jey or the other one?
Jey.
Okay. Does it matter? No.
No. It's garbage. Garbage for idiots.
We might have a first time Cretan. The armored loincloth. He's at Hawk's Coroner, which I like. Do you have any comparables to other GMs in any sport that have gotten mooned like Kyle has in the Rantanen and Jones trades? It's not bad. I can't.
Jim Hendry, and his eponymous barrel.
Jim Hendry's barrel? Yeah. But like.
Jim was trying, though, for many years.
He was never oblivious to like no one never came to Jim Hendry. He was pretty drunk. I need you to take this guy and I can't tell you who.
Jim was pretty drunk.
He was drunk, but at least he was competing.
Right. He was trying.
That's a good question.
Didn't he sign Alfonso Soriano while he was in the hospital after a heart
Adolfo
attack?
Adolfo Soriano.
All right. Well, those are the ones I have. I don't know if anyone else has.
I'm still stuck on this GM. I guess the only one that I could think of would be his counterpart at 1901 West Madison.
Garpax or the new one?
The new one. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, he doesn't even have I guess now they do, but he didn't even have a direction before. I mean, at least I can see what Kyle's direction is claiming to be. The Bulls just do things.
Well, the problem is in the past they haven't done things. Now they're doing them, and it's too late for most of them.
Right.
And or cruel.
Got to accumulate all the second-round picks, which everyone knows are the most valuable in the NBA.
Maybe Kyle walked across the hall and said, hey, you guys got to get a lot of second-round picks. That's what we do over here. Yeah. Everyone loves it.
Yeah, look at my Reddit threads.
Yeah, look at my Reddit threads. People are going gaga over this shit.
You know, between those two organizations.
The best part is that they traded Coby White and then played him too long before trading him, leading in them finding out that he had an injury after the fact and having to give back one of the picks they got for him initially. Imagine if that happened to a team you cared about. Oh my God. Thankfully, the Bulls have zero value for anybody. And are worthless. Big shout out to the Reinsdorfs for absolutely destroying an NBA team. Amazing
like
work.
The signature NBA team.
Yep.
Does anyone, and yet 19,000, 19,500 will walk through the gates.
It's a nostalgia museum. It's what it is. It's a big scam. Ricky O'Donnell did some good work on TV, torching everybody involved.
Oh, Ricky's always the best when he goes in on the Bulls.
He went real hard. It was, TV. It was
I did. Good. I was obviously sort of out of commission somewhat last week. Did Kelly Dwyer hit him hard too in the proverbial newts?
Yes, but he's more creative with how he writes, whereas Ricky was just like these guys think they're running a car wash.
Car wash.
Oh,
embarrassing.
Coat drive.
Do we have anything on the?
We got a couple here. Chris P would like to know, what's with the Swift and Manungai combining for 1,800 rushing yards? Where would you rank them among Bears running back tandems? Obviously not as good as Walter and anyone. Better than Jones and Benson? And don't feel like you have to rank Nagurski and Grange unless you know someone who's alive to see them.
No one's better than the ultra back and whoever.
Was that a Robert Greene co-production?
Was that who it was?
Raymond and Robert, or Raymond and Rashawn.
I don't spend a lot. Strangely, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about Bears running combination.
Who was Tim Worley paired with?
Oof,
Brock Forsey and
some other white guy.
Some other white guy.
Brock Forsey and intangibles.
Well, I mean, the running back pairs are that's kind of a newer thing. So, I mean. Neil never had a counterpart. He was his own.
Dennis
he was the running game.
Dennis Gentry was the holdover.
Right. Thank he's like the third down back. And then, I mean, I guess Muster was there too, but he was more of a fullback.
He a former one-time participant in Sharon's old beefcake bear of the week that she remembers.
There you go. Yeah, why not? Why the hell not? Make him one of the best.
Boy, that's tough.
Until DeAndre Swift gets told bye-bye this year for cap relief.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but we'll see.
Did someone say Sayers and Piccolo yet?
I love Brian Piccolo.
It's a good one.
I love Brian Piccolo.
The combination of Gale crying and Hawk. Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, last one.
My favorite Bears duo was Matt Forte by himself. Okay.
he wore 22, my friend.
Boom.
Last one from Chaos Theory at Brain Genius, spelled thusly, .me. Which Winter Olympic sport would be infinitely more entertaining if everyone involved athletes, spectators, and commenters were completely shit-faced drunk? I mean, curling's kind of halfway there, except for the announcers.
Figure skating.
Well, Johnny and Tara are drunk.
But if you got to heckle them as they were performing, it would be more fun.
I'm going with the biathlon because guns are involved.
It's all fun and games until one of them turns that weapon on you.
Turns it around. It
certainly makes things more interesting.
Isn't concerned about the targets anymore.
I mean, I would...
For every fan you peg, you have one less lap.
10 seconds off your time.
Yeah.
I would actually say that one of the newer events that they're calling SkiMo, skiing/mountaineering, where you uphill, like you literally have downhill skis but with skins on them.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
going uphill, and then
how
you
does
have
that
to
work?
Pop those bitches up. Oh, you'd be surprised. They're out and about out in Montana. Let me tell you.
Isn't that like the most exhausting thing ever?
Exactly. So if you're already hammered and or actively drinking as you're gaining in altitude slowly and exhausting yourself, you're going to have people fucking teetering over and they're going to become a Looney Tunes cartoon snowball as they spin down ass over tea kettle. And then it's basically like by the time they get to the top, it's going to be like the wiffle ball bat race.
I saw one of the cross country skiing track events where they had to basically looks like they were climbing uphill.
It's a little bit different because there's
for part of it. Yeah. I know it's different, but I just could not imagine not dropping dead halfway up the hill.
Cross country skiing looks like the hardest thing in the
it's
world.
It's so fucking hard.
It doesn't look like fun at all.
It's no,
of course
miserable.
The Norwegians just dominate it.
Right?
Yeah, they're
dominating
they
get
the
school.
Olympics completely in general. It's really not fair that they're allowed to be
school.
In it.
That's how Andrew gets to where he needs to be in Norway.
Right. He takes three planes, a boat, it's and true. Then he's got his cross country ski.
They hand them to you when you get off the plane. They go, good
right,
luck.
Exactly. Just one that's his job.
Did they at least give you the sweet quasi-goggle, quasi-shade, or like blade things?
They give you whatever you – they got a variety pack. Pick what you like. And then they say,
and
if you see them loose, go the other way.
Yeah, yeah, no, you don't. You don't
yeah, that's a good rule anywhere. If you see moose, head the other way.
So out in Montana, like all the trash bins are bear proofed. Yeah, it turns out they're also city kid proofed. Also, because I couldn't figure out how to close that sumbitch once I finally got it open.
It's like a box of edibles. Can't figure out how to open this thing.
I still got something for you, John. By the way.
Oh, lovely.
Is it the 400 milligram?
Yeah,
whatever you said?
The freebie from Michigan.
Holy shit! Good luck.
It's not for me.
Yeah, it's for your wife to dose you with again.
Yeah. For her own entertainment. Mm-hmm. All right. That's too much details about John's personal life right there. So we will cut it. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, and share. We will be back. I don't know when we'll be back. Maybe next week. See how the Olympics goes. If we're interested, there's news. Kind of feel it out. But we will be back. But until then, for John, for Matt, for Slack, I am Sam. Top guys, out.